Hello everyone. Today's topic is going to be a little bit different than usual because most of my podcasts and YouTube videos tend to be about aviation or travel, and I haven't really made a lot of videos about cruising. Now, I do quite like going on cruises on various cruise lines and cruise ships, and I have done quite a bit of research about them, and aviation isn't my only passion, so I thought I might as well share some of this with you guys as well. So through my research about cruise ships and cruise lines, one of the most interesting cruise lines that I found is called Peaceboat. So Peaceboat is actually a global non-governmental organization that is that was established for the purpose of raising awareness and building connections internationally among groups that work for peace, human rights, environmental protection, and sustainable development. Now, Peaceboat leases their ships quite often, and they actually just got a new ship, I believe, from Pullmantur Cruises, so the Spanish-speaking subsidiary of Royal Caribbean, called the Zenith. But they provide humanitarian aid, and their cruises are generally longer than most cruises, and they have like a theme more about service than vacations. So you're going to be volunteering during your excursions, and the excursions might not be beach excursions, but it's more about interacting with the people who live in the ports that you're visiting. And I just think that that's really great. Now, recently, they've actually also been cruising with the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs in mind. And now these are the 17 global goals that the UN set aside, and they are no poverty, zero hunger, good and well-being, quality education, gender equality, clean water and sanitation, affordable and clean energy, decent work and economic growth, industry, innovation, and infrastructure, reducing inequality, sustainable cities and communities, responsible consumption and production, climate action, life below water, life on land, peace, justice, and strong institutions, and partnerships for the goals. So just reading those out for you. And so I thought that we might kind of walk through the history of this cruise line and its mission. We kind of already talked about that, but just the ships, and I might as well just talk about this fascinating cruise line. So we'll start with the founding of the cruise line, which was in 1983, and three students of Waseda University in Japan initiated Peaceboat in answer to the Japanese history textbook controversies. So basically these are about the World War II and Japan not talking about World War II in textbooks, and the Nanjing massacres and other atrocities that I'm not going to go into in today's episode that Japan hasn't really been teaching about in its schools. So these like-minded students organized their first voyage that year in 1983. And since then, they have actually visited 270 ports, and more than 70,000 people have gone on Peaceboat cruises. Now, during the first 6 years after they were founded, Peaceboat ran just 1 to 2 week-long cruises with various Asian countries around Japan, and they only had one per year normally. And the time on the boat was used to hold lectures and events with guest speakers invited from the countries that they were going to visit. When they were in port, the international exchange events were carried out with the local non-governmental organizations and student groups. So this was kind of the style that the format that their current cruises follow. Now, they were founded in the 1980s, so in the 1990s, their 10th Peaceboat cruise was the first cruise to actually circumnavigate the globe. Now, during this cruise, the Gulf War actually broke out, and the ship encountered a U.S. aircraft carrier in the Red Sea. Now, after the success of this first round-the-world cruise, Peaceboat continued them, and now they do them on a regular basis. So now I'm going to be talking. The next cruise that's notable that I'm going to be talking about is their citizens' diplomacy trip to the Kuril Islands. So, in the Kuril Islands, just to give you guys some context, is a disputed territory between Japan and Russia. So, Russia took the Kuril Islands after World War II, and both Japanese people and Russian people are very vocal about their opinions on these islands. So in 1991, after the fall of the Soviet Union, a peace boat went to the Kuril Islands with the notion of a citizens' diplomacy mission. So they stopped at Idrup, Kunashir, and Shikotan, and they had homestays and tours. So this was actually the first trip made to these islands without a visa by an NGO from Japan, which is very cool. Now, over the past 30 years, Peaceboat has actually organized 100 voyages and more than 60 around the world voyages. So they've carried 70,000 participants, like I said, and visited over 270 ports. Now, the organization was actually nominated for the Nobel Prize in 2008, and their participants range from toddlers to people in their 90s from many different countries and professions. Now, next, I thought I might as well talk about Peaceboat's different vessels. So, the first vessel they have is called the Topaz. So, this was 31,500 tons, and it was a transatlantic ocean liner built in 1955 as the Empress of Britain, and it was with Peaceboat from 2003 to 2008, so it's a very old ship. The next ship I'm going to talk about is called Clipper Pacific. So it was built in 1970 for Royal Caribbean. Now you can see the pattern of the boats being quite old. And this one operated for Peaceboat for a very short period of time in 2008 after the Topaz. But due to the numerous repeated problems with the ship, the charter was actually cut short. And it ended in Piraeus, Greece, instead of ending in Yokohama in Japan as scheduled. Another boat that they've had was built in 1966 in Scotland, and it's called the Mona Lisa. So this was chartered to replace the faulty Clipper Pacific, and it completed the rest of the port voyage. So they dropped everyone off in Greece and said, "We're not using this boat anymore," and just picked up a new one called the Mona Lisa. And so this one also had a very short lifespan, and it was only with Peaceboat for 1 year from 2008 to 2009. Now, the boats that have actually been with Peaceboat for a little longer, I'm going to talk about now, are the Oceanic and the Ocean Dream. So the Oceanic was built in 1965 by an Italian shipyard, and it was operated from 2009 to 2012. There's not very much about this ship on the internet, to be honest, and but one thing that's interesting about this actually is that it was the Big Red Boat One, and I might make another episode about this later. But this Big Red Boat means that it was owned by Premier Cruise Lines, which actually was the beginning of Disney Cruise Line, somewhat. I'll talk about this some other time. And the other ship, the Ocean Dream, at 32,265 gross tons, this ship is right now with Peaceboat, actually. It was built in 1981 in Denmark, and it has been with the company or the organization since 2012. Now, this new ship is actually called the Zenith. It is 47,413 gross tons. I have been tracking this on Marine Tracker, and right now it's just anchored in open sea due to the coronavirus pandemic. But it was announced last year in July that it will be leaving Pollmantur's fleet and joining Peaceboat. I actually really like the look of this ship, and I'm excited to see how Peaceboat is going to be using this. Now, after the break, we're going to be talking about Peaceboat's other projects, so stay tuned for that. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're going to be continuing our podcast on episode on the Peaceboat. So now I'm going to be talking about the landmine abolition campaign of Peaceboat. So since 1998, Peaceboat has actually been running this project called PMAC, or the Peaceboat Mine Abolition Campaign, to support organizations carrying out landmine removal in countries like Cambodia and Afghanistan. So in the world, there are approximately 110 million landmines in the ground. Even now, as many continue to be injured or lose their life without a trace, most of these victims are just normal people like you or me. So as of 2009, through a number of campaigns, Peaceboat has actually raised money to clear 886,472 square meters of landmine in these open areas and 5 elementary schools. So their campaign is ongoing. Another project is called the Peace Ball Project. So since 1999, Peaceboat has been donating over 12,000 soccer balls to 43 countries. So the Peace Ball Project delivers soccer balls and other sports equipment to disadvantaged children. And they use the power of the world's most popular sport to build bridges of communication and solidarity, in their own words. Now, they've also been partnering with the JET program. So if you know, the JET program is a program in Japan which brings English teachers from the US and other English-speaking countries to teach English in elementary school. Personally, in my Japanese elementary school, we had a JET teacher. Now, Peaceboat's JET program was actually launched in 1999, and it focuses on oral communication, viewing languages as global tools for intercultural exchange, and combining onboard classroom study with exchange programs and homestays. So it sounds like a lot of fun if you're interested in getting to know different cultures and you're learning more languages. Now, in 2000, Peaceboat also launched the Global University Program. So it's mostly seminars at sea and study/exposure tours at the ports of call. So it's they describe it as an intensive peace and sustainability education program focused on experiential learning. In 2004, Peaceboat also became the Northeast Asia Regional Secretariat for the Global Partnership for the Prevention of Armed Conflict. So this is GPPAC, and it's an international network of NGOs working in peace building and conflict prevention. So it's made up of 15 regions, each working with their own action plans to address issues specific to their region. In light of the Japanese government's pressure to amend Article 9, which is the in the Japanese Constitution that is that bans Japan from having a military and starting wars, current Japanese government has been for abolishing this article. But Peaceboat, together with Japan Lawyers International Solidarity Association, actually launched the Global Article 9 campaign to abolish war in 2005. So this campaign strives not only to protect Article 9 within Japan, but to also build an international movement supporting Article 9 as the shared property of the world, calling for global peace that does not rely on force. From 2005 to 2008, Peaceboat has also raised approximately $13,000 in funds, which were donated to Vietnam Association of Victims of Agent Orange, which is basically the U.S. dropped chemicals all over Vietnamese forests during the Vietnam War, harming many civilians. And this money was used to cover a portion of construction costs for a facility supporting these victims. On the 2009 cruise, Peaceboat visited the facility with a group of Japanese atomic bomb victims from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they held their first exchange program there. The International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons is a coalition of NGOs in 100 countries around the world. So Peaceboat is a member of the campaign's international steering group led by Executive Committee member Kawasaki Akira. I can played a significant role in advocacy leading to the adoption of a treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons at the United Nations in New York in July 2017. So some other projects that they've been working on have mostly been about preventing war and promoting peace. And so one of these bigger other goals of Peace Boat is climate change, is sustainability. So Peace Boat's EcoShip is their transformational program to construct the planet's most environmentally sustainable cruise ship. So Peace Boat organized a multidisciplinary charrette, bringing together the world's experts from fields as diverse as naval architecture, renewable energy, biophilic and biomimetic design, and they all had the goal of defining the new specifications for a restorative vessel where radical energy and efficiency and closed material flow combine for a net positive impact on the environment. So zero emissions and more than just zero emissions, but also helping the environment. So they want to use this ship as a flagship for climate action and with its whole system designed to maximize renewable energy use and enable 40% CO2 cuts. So EcoShip was introduced in an official press conference at COP21. Another program that they have devoted to climate change is the Ocean and Climate Youth Ambassador Program. So this is a group of young leaders from states on the front line of climate change and marine degradation, and they joined Peace Boat's 95th Global Voyage in Barcelona as part of a new program to highlight these crucial issues and build momentum for climate action. I hope you enjoyed today's episode on the Mile High TV Aviation and Travel Show. As always, be sure to leave me a message. The link is in the description, whether you are listening on to this in podcast form or on YouTube, Google Cloud Podcasts. Send me a voice message for free. It would mean the world to me. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Goodbye.